Did you know, in what we refer to as the Old Testament, there are 473,204 words? Did you know that? So everything that the people confronted by the life and words of Jesus would have known about God were comprised of just under 500,000 words, which, of course, is quite a few words. So, knowing what you know about the Old Testament and imagining yourself not to know anything about his incarnational representation, Jesus, what do you think the Jewish people of the first century really thought about God? If you and I were having a coffee and I threw that question to you and I said, how would they have described him? What would you answer? Well, next question. In the midst of 473,204 words, how many times do you think that God was familiarly spoken of as a father, or simply father? And this would include times anyone spoke of him that way personally, and also the times he refers to himself in that way. Like, what would your guess be? Well, the answer is 15. 15, just to remind you, out of 473,204, which, if you're math-minded, is 0.00003% of the God words spoken in the Old Testament. Yes, that's right. 0.03. For reference, the chance that any individual will be struck by lightning in their lifetime is 1 in 3,000, or i.e. 0.03%. Also, I'll say it this way. There is 100 times more of a possibility that a first century Jew would have been struck by lightning than that they'd have internalized the notion of God as a personal father. Well, heavenly lightning is about to strike. In our last episode, Jesus walked, if you'll remember, into the non-expectant, hopeless reality of a man lying beside the Bethesda pool and, with a joyous word to him, healed him of his 38-year ailment. The man went from paralyzed to running around. The only problem, the incarnate God just so happened to enact this wonder on a Saturday, on the Hebrew Sabbath, and so he'd seemingly broken his own law, which, just to remind you, was aimed toward himself. So here comes the lightning. This is John 5:15-17. Then that man went off and informed the Jews that the one who had made him well was Jesus. It was because Jesus did such things on the Sabbath day that the Jews persecuted him. But Jesus' answer to them was this: my Father is still at work, and therefore I work as well. Whoosh! You know, lightning. And actually, in a way, if that was the lightning striking into their first century midst, well, then here comes the thunder, John 5:18. This remark made the Jews all the more determined to kill him, because not only did he break the Sabbath, but he referred to God as his own father, so putting himself on equal terms with God. And speaking of being struck, before we even move forward and take a look at how Jesus responds to this indignation, I want to tell you a thought that has so struck me this week. I think you and I can't even begin to contextualize these people's amazement at what sounded to them like blasphemy. Your and my received ideas and understandings surrounding the Trinity, our so-called Trinitarian theologies, well, they would have sounded like polytheism to the Jews living in Jesus' day. Do you understand? It took the early church 300 years after the life of Jesus to really come to grips at Nicaea with the reality of a three-personed God. I mean, you and I are so casual with this high, holy, heavenly, overwhelming mystery that I'm afraid most of the time we haven't even thought about it. It is wild. So back to where we are. In John 5:19, Jesus is recorded as beginning to speak the longest section of direct teaching that he's given so far in our chronological study of his life. And really, it is all aimed at four things. At the reality of who the Father is and what he's about understanding how the Son interprets his own existence, about those people who would come to him and walk the way, and then about everyone choosing to walk any other way. So, four vantages on the Father, the Son, and what I'll call the two parts of humanity. So, rather than simply read you John 5:19 through 47, which I'm sure you've done before, I've got something a little different for us today. I've already gone through and separated all his statements and then sort of married them back together according to their topic, giving them what I would call sort of a natural, readable ordering. I want you to listen to Jesus speaking very specifically about, again, his Father, about himself, and about his view of humankind. So I'll start with the Father, and because we're not together right now, I would just invite you to be listening to this as if we were, as if at the end of my readings about the Father, I would say, well, what are you noticing? Pay attention in that way. So here's what Jesus says, again, in John 5:19 through 47. Here's what he says about the Father. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he does himself. Therefore, my actions are how the Father who has sent me has given his own personal testimony to me. Yes, and he will show the Son even greater things than these to fill you with wonder. For the Father raises the dead and makes them live, because the Father has life in himself. The Father is no man's judge, but has given the Son authority to judge. The Father witnesses about me, and I know that his witness about me is absolutely true. My friend, again, to yourself, or give me a call, I wonder what's striking you about the Father's activity, his heart, and the way in which, and for the reasons which he sent Jesus. Next, the Son, Jesus talking about himself in this passage. Listen to it. It was about me that Moses wrote, and I have a higher testimony than John's. I have come in the name of my Father. Judgment is entirely in my hands, and I have authority to judge because I am the Son of Man. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is true because I do not live to please myself, but to do the will of the Father who sent me. I have not come to accuse you before the Father. The work that the Father gave me to complete, yes, these very actions which I do, are my witness that the Father has sent me. What the Son does is always modeled on what the Father does. By myself, I can do nothing. I assure you that the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. But by the Father's gift, the Son also has life in himself, and the Son gives life to any man he chooses. Men's approval or disapproval means nothing to me. So again, friends, what are you hearing there? What about the character, the intention, the sort of intensity of Jesus strikes you as you listen to him speak about himself? Up next, this would be those people, those human beings living in their day, who are attempting to follow the way of God as it's brought to us in the person of Jesus. So I'm calling this the way walkers. Here it is all married together. John the Baptist certainly was a light that burned and shone, and for a time you were willing to enjoy the light that he gave. Now, come to me, to have real life. All men should honor the Son equally with the Father. The man who hears what I have to say and believes in the one who has sent me has eternal life. He does not have to face judgment. He has already passed from death into life. A time is coming, in fact, has already come, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and when they have heard it, they will live. They will rise again to life. Friend, as someone who, right there with me, is attempting to walk this way of Jesus, what do you notice about our identity, what he says about us, where we are to gain and to receive and to walk in life? And then last group, this would be those who are trying to walk any other way through life. Listen to it all kind of put together. You will not accept me. Yet if another man comes simply in his own name, you will accept him. How on earth can you believe while you are forever looking for each other's approval and not for the glory that comes from the one God? You have never at any time heard what the Father says or seen what he is like. Nor do you really believe the Father's word in your hearts, for you refuse to believe the man who he has sent. The man who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. You may say that I am bearing witness about myself, that therefore what I say about myself has no value, and yet you pore over the Scriptures, for you imagine that you will find eternal life in them. And all the time they give their testimony to me. But you are not willing to come to me to have real life. If you really believed Moses, you would be bound to believe me. But if you do not believe what he wrote, how can you believe what I say? I can tell that you have none of the love of God in your hearts. What are you hearing as you hear that? What about, let's call it the waywardness of the world, is striking to you? And also, what as you listen gives you empathy for those in your life who don't yet know him? Last thing. The very last time that God, in the entirety of the Old Testament, speaks of himself as Father, I have to say, there is a poignancy that perfectly prepares the ground for the coming of Jesus. Listen to our Father God's aching heart for Israel, and really for all of us. This is from Jeremiah 3:19. And again, this is the last time in the whole Old Testament that he refers to himself as Father. Listen, and this is God talking. I myself said, how gladly would I treat you like my children and give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me Father and not turn away from following me. Isn't that kind of haunting? Well, now here comes Jesus into our world, into our reality, into this unexpected truth of a Trinity to say this to our hearts today. The man who hears what I have to say and believes in the one who has sent me has eternal life. He does not have to face judgment. He has already passed from death into life. In essence, knowing Jesus and following Jesus, we are learning to be and become the children of God, to inherit the most beautiful inheritance possible on earth and in heaven by daring to call God Father and not turning away from following his voice. We are fulfilling the goal for which Jesus came. So, my friend, what do you say? Shall you and I come to him and have real life? Thanks for listening.